Good morning and welcome to the Sunday school class. We are on lesson two, A Call Revealed, and we are, hopefully I can finish the lesson today, and then we'll go into lesson three. But to me, it's been a blessing studying God's Word, and I pray that as I relate it to you, it'd be a blessing to you, and that you can take that with you wherever you go. But we're going through this, and now we have talked about God's vision determining our lives. When my son, he was going to buy a house over there at Deer Valley. He was renting it from my son, from my younger son. And he said, you know what, in the garage I have all the lawnmowers and everything. I said, and on the side of the building, he said, it's not too wide, but that's where I would like to put a little storage room. I don't care if it's only 4 feet wide, but as long as it's long. And so Pat and I went to Whataburger, and we went through the drive-thru. And I was looking at their little storage shed on the side. And I said, well, that's something that would work for my son. So we visualized, I told him, this is what I saw. And we visualized what he wanted. The same with you. You're going to build something, and okay, in your mind, you start working things out. Okay, this is how I'm going to want whatever you're going to do, whether it's a little garden or whatever. So you visualize it, and then you put it into action, okay? You start getting a hammer, your tools, the material that you need. And yeah, you had it here, but now you're going to put it into action. When we, as Christians, God puts a message or puts something in our hearts to do, and then, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. How do you want me to do it, Lord? Or how am I going to do it? And then you put it into action. How were all the programs that we had here, we thought about them, and then we say, well, this is what we need. This is what we're going to do. And then we put it to action. And now we have Sunday school, whether there's one child or there's eight children back then, back there. We have a Sunday school class. We have a adult male Sunday school class. We have a adult women's Sunday school class. I remember when I came back and I would look at the choir, and I was used to seeing that choir full back there. And then when the COVID hit and all of a sudden everything died. But now I said, Lord, we need people back up there. Don't put me, because I'll make them run away with my voice. But the Lord has bought the right people that sing with the right heart that makes a difference. A song is a message to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Listen to those words, what he's saying. It's all about glorifying God. Look at the faces of those that are in the choir when they have that cheerful smile singing to the Lord. Okay? Then it's amazing how every time that somebody's missing because they had to go here or there, how the Lord replaces them. Not that he doesn't need them. No, he does. But that's the way when Sam left, we don't go, what are we going to do? There's always Mike took over. And the reason sometimes God does that is so that if we get so used to Sam, and again, we do need him, but let's say that you have a talent of being up there directing the music, but because he's doing such a good job, he'll do it. Sometimes the Lord has to send him to another place so that somebody can start working. And see, the Lord doesn't want us to be sitting down. He wants us to be working, whether it's outside, inside. But the Lord wants us working here at Harvest Baptist. So now we look at a call for action. And in verse 2 of Jonah 1:2, it says, we see three words that are found in this verse, and it's one of them is arise. Okay, he's been telling him what to do. Okay, now you need to take action. It says arise, go, and cry, proclaim. Okay, it's time for you to take action. It's time for us to wake up. Someone has said the church is a sleeping giant. We have all the power of the universe on our side, but we have fallen asleep. In Isaiah 56:10, it says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. My goodness, that's heavy right there. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. These God's people. Okay? I have a dog. It's a boxer, Coco. That dog is the laziest dog that you'll ever see. And she doesn't know how to be outside. She'll come and scratch at our door, letting us know she needs to go do what she needs to do outside. And then not even a minute, she's scratching that she wants to come back inside. And I built her a little dog house outside so that when we take her out and we're not there, she could go somewhere. But that dog, you see the cats and she's lying down, the cats are passing by, and that dog's just looking at them. And sometimes, because I have a little pillow for her, and she'll come to me, she won't lay down on that pillow unless I fluff it up. And she'll be with her nose that she wants me to do that, so I go fluff it up and she goes lay down. And sometimes she's looking at me because she wants a treat. And so I'll give her a treat. And she's lying down, and I put her right in front of her nose, and she's like looking at me and with her tongue. She can't bark like that. I mean, I bought a dog to bark, and she won't bark. And the day she barks is because she wants to come inside. Let me in. And so we need to wake up. The Apostle Paul set the alarm clock in Romans 13:11-12. And he says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Are we asleep? Are we awake in our Christian walk? Coming to church when we're supposed to? Giving our tithes when we're supposed to? Helping each other? Thank you for those that give me a call. And sometimes I give you a call. But when you're out of town, you can rest assured that we're praying for you. We're praying for Ray, Little John, those that are traveling. I know that somebody's been praying for me from here and others. I like to call on people because I'm not doing good, and I know that they're going to pray for me. I need prayer, so I asked you, and now you put it into action. You're praying for me. We're praying for each other, working, okay? So it's time now, not just to wake up, it's time to start walking. In Romans 13:13-14, Okay, Paul, at this challenge to his call, it says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness. Now, that doesn't mean that we drink, but sometimes when we don't do nothing, just laying around, it's like we're drunk, not doing nothing. And so, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on ye the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In the morning, especially Saturday, I don't want to do nothing. Saturday is when I get up about 7:30 or 8. I sleep late. But 4:30, 5, I get up early. Okay. So sometimes I'm laying in bed. Right now I'm going to get up. I'm going to make breakfast. I'm going to make some hash browns and some eggs over easy and some link sausages and some toast. And I'm going to make some orange juice and I'm saying that, and then I, in a little bit, and I cross my arms and go to sleep. And no, we need to wake up. You know, you're determined, okay, now I have to shake it off and do what I said I was going to do. Well, didn't you make breakfast? Well, I was going to make it, but that didn't help her. but this is what happens in our Christian lives. We're saved. We can't lose our salvation, but we, like Jonah, somebody else can take care of that, and we need to be very careful in that. Okay, so we must awaken to God's message and truth, but we must also practice truth, not just say so, right? We have a Lot, a Christian, but Lot, when he chose to live in a worldly environment, Lot chose to go to Las Vegas. That's the type of environment that he was around, the world. And so he wanted to prosper. He was a Christian, but instead of him preaching, so that when the angels came and said, get out of here because we are going to destroy the city. And so he goes and tells his about-to-be son-in-laws, get out, for the Lord is coming. And you know what the Bible says? They left him to scorn. Why? Because he never talked to us about God, and all of a sudden, and he was a Christian, but he wasn't doing what he was supposed to. Maybe he was afraid. Well, what are they going to tell me? What, they're going to laugh at me. And that's exactly what happened. They laughed at him. The Bible says, and they left him to scorn. May we be always an example in our homes, around our homes, at our church, wherever we go, may we be an example to the lost world. No one will listen to us if we do not live what we preach. In Ephesians 4:1, we are told, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation wherewith ye were called. The Lord can just mention that he is so glad now to be in the family of God in his prayer. And now, how are we walking? Do our families see a difference in our lives because of the way we speak, because of the way we dress, because of the places we don't go and the places we do go? Do they see a difference in our lives? Okay.
Does anybody know, or can anybody tell that we are children of God? We need to be. So before we warn others of the errors of this old sinful life, we must walk in newness of life. And the way that somebody else warned us, we need to go warn people. Now, but what if they don't? Remember, the harvest is white as snow. And when you go witness or talk to somebody, yes, fear will come, especially if you see a big old guy. No, I said, Lord, you say that the harvest is ready. So, Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit you convict the heart and mind and soul of that person. Somewhere, somehow, that person has heard of you, whether he's received you or reject you. I don't know if he's going to reject you, but my job is to give him an invitation, a flyer, a track. And they might throw it, but you did your job. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, okay? Because we are in the flesh, and we are, sometimes we do. But when you pray, Lord, as I go out there, I don't know if they're going to read it or not, but let me not be afraid, because I have that joy that you put in me, and I would like for that other person to have it also. And the Holy Spirit will speak to them. Don't you be trying to play the part of the Holy Spirit, because it's not going, you're going to have a miserable time. When Pastor gave me the opportunity of giving Sunday school class, or sometimes puts me to preach, and he's very hyper and active and runs up and down, and I said, Lord, I try to be like him, and I was miserable because I wasn't him. He's happy because he's him, but I'm not him. And the Lord said, when you start being who I want you to be, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to have a joyful heart. And this is what's happening. The Lord will use you according to your ability. And whether it's a big job, a small job, as long as you do it for the Lord, you'll be satisfied that you did it for the Lord. Okay? So we need to start warning people. It says here in Isaiah 58:1, it says, cry. Or when it says cry, it doesn't mean, no, it starts proclaim. Okay, proclaim. Proclaim out loud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. When Mike plays a trumpet, can you hear it? Oh, yes, you can. When he's playing the trumpet, what if Mike gets up here and with a big old trumpet? No. He lets, he prepares his lungs and he blows on that trumpet, and we could hear it. And when he's playing, you could even hear it vibrate on the back. Boom, boom. Yes. This is what God is saying for us to do, okay? And show my people their transgressions and the house of Job their sin. And again, I know that a lot of us can't go out witnessing like we could. But when you go to the store, if you can go to the store and talk to people, it's amazing when I'm walking around and seeing different people, and I find something, they have a dog or whatever. Hey, you know what? I have a boxer like that. What's his name? And I start a little conversation. Oh, you know what? Do you live around here? I live. And when they say close by the church, well, here, there's an invitation. You're more than welcome to come. And they'll either take it or they won't, but you did your job. You did your job. Maybe you can't go around your neighborhood, but when you see them, give them a track. an invitation, whether they take it or not, but you ask the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, and it's up to them. And the Holy Spirit is working in them, just like you and I when we weren't saved. Somebody witnessed to us, and we didn't want them around us because we weren't of them. But now we are of them, and so we want them to be of us too. But we need to warn them, okay? Now there's a communication of agony, okay? When we have a burden. I have a burden for my family that are not saved, and I've seen them. Some of my brother-in-laws, good people, but I have an uncle that has a lot of money, a real good person, but you talk to him about the Lord and he will not accept. And I have a burden. I said, Lord, he's 80-something. He had a heart attack, and my wife and I went over there to his house, and he knows that I used to be a preacher at Faith Baptist. But when you witness to them, you go out of there and it feels like you failed, but you didn't. He didn't accept. But it's like when Jesus is saying, in Matthew 23:37, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And he's saying that because he walked among them. And he's saying, because they were so proud, the disciples and all that, they would go to Jerusalem, and the first thing they would go and see is the temple. I mean, that was one of the seven wonders of the world. And look at the temple, and Jesus would say, "See all this here? There will not be stone upon stone that shall not be thrown down." And after Jesus died, 70 years after he died, guess what? The Romans came, demolished the building, okay? And because they had seen gold and silver and all that, you know what they did? They didn't want to leave anything behind. So they tore all the wood, they burned it down and took brick by brick and any little piece of gold or silver, and they stripped it to the ground, that not a stone was left upon a stone. That's what happened, okay? But he says here, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings." And then look what it says, "And ye would not let me." I thank God that many times people would witness to me, I would not let them in my heart. You would not let them in your heart. But I thank God that one day I opened the door to him and he came in. Amen. He came in and saved you and changed your life, all because somebody witnessed to you. All because somebody was an example to you, whether it was at work, at school, at the grocery store, one of your family members. I remember my sister was the first one that came to the Lord, and we would call her Sister Batril. I'd say, "Hey, Sister Batril, you need to go to church." And, "Okay, here you go. Hey, Sister Batril, you need to pray for us because we're not doing good." So Sister Batril would pray for us. But because of her example, and then my younger brother came to the Lord, and then I came to the Lord, my older brother came to the Lord, my oldest sister came to the Lord, my second to the oldest came to the Lord, and then the third sister to the oldest came to the Lord. My brother and my sister, they're gone home. COVID took a lot of lives. But I know that one day I'll see them. And I thank God for their example. And we need to thank God that he saved us, but now it's our turn to take it into action, wake up and walk and warn our family members. And I have a burden for my family that my uncle is a drunk. If you light a match, he'll explode. He's got so much alcohol in him. And he's a very kind person, but he is lost. And he is sick from his liver. He's got cancer and all that. And he will not surrender his life to Christ. But I said, Lord, I cannot change him. But the one that changed me can change that person. Father, through your Holy Spirit, we always pray, may your Holy Spirit convict him. Because if I try, I'm going to fail and I'm going to feel miserable. There's a field ready to be harvested. And we, the reapers, need to go in there. But what if they don't? You do your job and God will do his. Okay? So we need to, okay, we need to see all that. And when we need to let them know, just like Noah, the sins of Nineveh had gotten into the nostrils of the Lord. That was so bad. I mean, have you ever opened something that's spoiled and you open, you don't want that. When our sins have reached into the nostrils of our Lord, something is wrong. So because something is wrong, God will send people, I am coming again. One day I'm coming, and you need to be prepared because you're going to be left out. You're going to miss it, okay? So God is warning us to go, okay? It's so political. Look at what it says here in man's wickedness had come up to the presence of God. Sin is present in every society. But there are times when the strength of that sin reaches the nostrils of God in an unusual, nauseating way. We see in Amos 5:12, God says, "For I know your manifold, your many, many transgressions and your mighty sins." Well, you know what? You can get the most vile criminal and you can get a person that he only said one lie. He is capable of the same. He is guilty just like the other one. There's no difference. So now be careful. It is easy to excuse ourselves here as not being as bad as the people of Nineveh. But keep in mind that a little leaven is the whole lump. So God is absolutely pure, and just a little sin in our lives will pollute his presence. We as Christians, we also, that's why I pray daily, Lord, forgive me. Not to save me, because he saved me already once, but forgive me. You go working outside and your wife tells you, okay, supper is ready. What do? You go wash your hands. You come in sitting down all full of dirt. You get out of here. But you're my wife, yes, but I cannot allow you to come in. So God cannot allow you to come in church with a dirty heart, a dirty mind. And we can be dressed real nice out on the outside, but how is our inside before the Lord? How is it? So let us come, and that I like coming here praying, God, forgive us and help us so that we can worship you with a clean and pure heart, so that as we are worshiping you, the people around our church may see those guys seem to be very happy. What's different? There's a Bob's grandson, Chris, bought a friend with him. You know what she said? She told my wife, in my church, we don't do this. We don't sing. Oh, in my church. Oh, I don't know what they do, then where she was going, but she saw a difference. And when people around Harvest Baptist can see a difference, guess what? I want to be there. And once they're here, you know what? The most important thing of being here is that God will speak to you and me. And as Christians, God is going to let us know where we're wrong, where we're right. And as unbelievers, God will speak to those that do not know Christ. That's why we say, Lord, if there's a person here that does not know you, before the message, may your Holy Spirit already, may the Holy Spirit may convict him so that he might come to you. Okay? So, look what it says. The wages of sin is death. You go to work, you get paid, right? But because we sinned, our wages was hell. Aren't you glad that you and I quit before we got paid our wages in hell? Aren't you glad that you quit? You know what? I quit and I accept you, Lord, because the wages of sin is death. And thank God that we quit before payday. We'll be going next week into a common rebellion. Lesson 3. I was able to finish. Yay! So, thank you for being here. And let's go ahead and pray. And we'll get started. Pray for me. I think I'm doing a lot better. My nose is running less. And so, pray that everything will turn out okay. Be praying for our pastor and his wife. Those that are not doing good. And those that are traveling. And that the Lord prepare our hearts for this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson of how you speak to us. And we read about Jonah, but we have to do something in there. It's not just reading the book of Jonah. It's about us putting into action what we have learned from the mistakes of Jonah. And sometimes we're doing the same thing as he's doing, as he did. And but also, as he had a second chance, you have given us many, many opportunities, many chances to change our ways as your children and to start working for you. Father, be with us, be with Pastor Cook, be with Michelle, and be with all the ones that are traveling, those that are sick. We remember Ray Littlejohn and Christina, Lord, and all of us, Lord, be with us this morning. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.